Well, this evening we come to the final part of our study as we are making our way through the Apostles' Creed and examining its relationship not only to our life and to our doctrine, but then to our prayer and how we should pray, and indeed why we should pray. We've looked at this is the 17th study we've made on the Apostles' Creed. I hope that the study has been encouraging to you all. From this point forward, we'll transition to focus on the Ten Commandments and do generally the same thing. We'll examine the commandment, we'll make application of it to our life, but particularly to areas of prayer, since this is our Wednesday evening devotion and takes the place of our prayer meeting that we would normally have in a pre-coronavirus world. Lord willing, as also, we'll have prayer meeting again in the future. So this evening, we come to the last word of the Creed. It's the word that it serves as sort of like the full stop or the period, or perhaps the exclamation point at the end of this great summary of doctrine, and it's the word Amen. Now, throughout the history of Christianity and even back into Judaism, Amen has been a word that is on that has found itself on the lips of God's people. It is a word that is literally a translation of a Hebrew word meaning "so be it" or "let it be." It's a way of emphasizing our agreement with something. It's found at the end of our prayers. You know, most of us, we would conclude prayers with Amen. You find it throughout the book of Psalms as you read Amen and Amen. The prayers of David are ended in certain places. You'll find it in the doxologies of even the New Testament, and some places even in Jesus' own interaction, in the Gospel of John especially, where he'll preface a saying with the word Amen. He'll say, Amen, Amen. Or I think in the King James, it's verily, verily, I say unto thee. Or the ESV, truly, truly, I say unto you. Like, this is truth. This is what you must cling to. That's the way the word Amen is used in the Bible. And as I said, we often use it as a way to conclude our prayers or to emphasize our agreement with something. We see this in the world. So if I were to say, wow, it's a hot day outside today, you might respond by saying, Amen. It's a way of stating your agreement with that truth. In that way, it's somewhat like a signature. You know, so it's if you imagine the Declaration of Independence or any number of important document that you would express your agreement with by putting your signature down. To say Amen at the end of the Apostles' Creed is a way of signing your signature to this creed, to say this is truth and this is what I affirm. So what I want to do this evening as we conclude our study of the Apostles' Creed is first to read the Apostles' Creed and then remember a few ways that or reasons why we have the Creed, and then transition to speak on its relationship to prayer. Make one final note on how we can pray better, having said Amen to this great summary of the faith. So first of all, the Apostles' Creed in toto. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So let's remember why we have this creed. There are a number of main reasons. We have it as a summary of the core doctrines and truths of the Christian faith, of the person and work of the triune God. And here's a clear and concise way of summarizing what the Bible teaches about God and his interaction with the world, particularly for our salvation. And so it's a very helpful way of stating what you believe at the core of your faith. So if someone were to ask you, what do you believe? Well, you could succinctly point them to the Apostles' Creed and then maybe expound upon a few of the doctrines you find here in this creed. So that we have the creed as a way of summarizing and stating what the Bible teaches, but not only what the Bible teaches, but what we believe as Christians. That's why we say amen to this creed. We also have here a way to teach. You know, like all of our confessions and our catechisms and our creeds, this creed is aimed to pass along the faith. It's aimed to help the faith take root in our own hearts as adults, but also to teach and to train our children or people who are just trying to understand theology and what the Bible teaches and what we should believe concerning the person and work of Christ or the Holy Spirit or the Father. We have in the creeds and confessions and catechisms, and especially in the Apostles' Creed, a means of teaching. Of teaching the next generation, of teaching our neighbors, of teaching those who are young in the faith. These are excellent places to go to begin to understand what the Bible and what God and what Christianity is all about. And then finally, we have this creed as a means of comfort. So John Calvin, he wrote a catechism for the church at Geneva. I think I referenced this last week. And in that catechism, he states that nothing in this summary, or the creed here, is set down that does not tend to the consolation of the faithful, or to the consolation of faithful consciences. What he's saying there is we have in this summary, in this creed, doctrinal truth that is set down for your comfort, and to especially assuage your conscience and help you, even in times of doubt and sorrow and struggle and being overwhelmed with even how big the Bible is and whether or not you'll ever truly understand it. Well, here is a faithful and accurate summary of what the Bible teaches. And each of these doctrines teaches us, relates to us, the benefits which God performs for his servants. That's what Calvin says. So you have in this creed not just a stodgy recitation of a few doctrinal heads or points of theology. You have here what is to abound for your comfort in the Lord. I want to read from our larger catechism, Westminster Larger Catechism, question 196. Now, it refers to the Lord's Prayer here and the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer. So if you know the Lord's Prayer, the last line, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen." You know, it's just like the creed here ends with the word amen. And I'm reading this question and this answer because it helps us understand the force of the word amen and will then also help us transition to discuss how we should pray. So the question asked here is, what does the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer teach us? And the answer is, the conclusion of the Lord's Prayer, which is, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever, amen," teacheth us to enforce our petitions with arguments, which are to be taken not from any worthiness in ourselves or in any other creature, but from God, and with our prayers to join praises, ascribing to God alone eternal sovereignty, omnipotency, and glorious excellency, in regard whereof, as he is able and willing to help us, so we, by faith, are emboldened to plead with him that he would, and quietly to rely upon him that he would fulfill our request, and to testify that this is our desire and assurance, we say amen. So you can see there that amen is a way of, as I said earlier, putting your signature down, your confirmation down on these truths. So you think of the Apostles' Creed, to say amen is to praise God with thankfulness that this is true of him, and it is true for the sake of your salvation and your soul. It is your desire, and it is your assurance when you say amen. So what are some ways we can apply this to prayer beyond merely saying amen at the end of our prayers, which obviously we will continue to do? Well, a few items. First of all, saying amen to these truths in this creed is a way of leaving your life and salvation in the hands of the triune God. That is, to say amen at the end of this creed is a way of expressing the fact that your faith and your trust are in the Lord. And that alone should help you pray to the Lord. It's like you're not going to pray to the Lord in order to gain his salvation or to gain your life or to gain eternal redemption. These are the benefits that God has already provided for you through the work of His own self-giving, through the Father giving of the Son, and the Son coming and giving of the Spirit, and the Spirit leading us to the Son and back to the Father. You know, basically through the gospel, you've been made right with God. Therefore, saying amen to these truths recognizes that prayer is not the means by which you are reconciled to God. Christ is, through the Spirit and unto the Father. All this to say is to affirm these truths and then to go and pray in light of them is to pray as someone who is saved, not to pray in order to be saved. Now, that doesn't mean that whenever we call upon the Lord, say at that first moment, that first expression of faith, that it's not by prayer. It often is by prayer. Many of you prayed a prayer to the Lord, and that most likely marked the moment at which you were born again, or it was evidence of you having been born again. But this is merely to say, saying amen to this creed is a way of saying my salvation and life are in the hands of the triune God, and that's why I pray. Secondly, amen is a way of concluding your prayers on a thankful note. Saying amen to this creed even is a way of saying this is why I'm thankful. Paul in Colossians 4 verse 2 says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. So we're to be thankful as a way of guarding our prayers, perhaps keeping our prayers from becoming self-centered or just focused on our wants and our needs, which is the very definition of being self-centered. To be thankful to the Lord is to realize that your salvation in life is something He has accomplished and He has given to you. So saying amen to this creed will help you to pray and with thankfulness, and therefore to guard your prayers from descending into selfishness. And then thirdly and finally, our amen at the end of this creed, and indeed our amen in our prayers, should always be tethered to a hope and a request that many more would believe and confess the truth that we find in this creed. That is, when we say amen, we say, this is what I believe, but we also have a hope in our heart that people from every tribe and tongue and nation, people in our own family who don't know the Lord, our own neighbors or coworkers, people in our community would be able to say amen together with you to this creed. So whenever they're asked, what do you believe? They can state these words and then say with a hearty self confidence that this is the truth. Amen. And so we want others to understand and believe and live out of the truth found in these points of doctrine, in this creed, in this summary of the faith, even as we want our own soul to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You know, that's our goal, to know Christ better. And we have here, through this creed as a faithful summary of the Bible, and then through prayer, praying on the basis of what God has done, we have a means to reaching that goal, to being more and more like Jesus. Well, it's my hope and prayer that this study of the Apostles' Creed has been edifying for you. And I pray that as you reflect upon it more, even as you confess this creed privately and publicly as a part of worship, that you yourself would be able to heartily say, amen.